The following episode of FOFOP is classified MA. It contains some coarse language, some nudity, drug references, a sex scene, time travel, terrible Batman impersonations, a Charlie Clausen pronounced Clausen-shaped hole, and mild coarse language. FOFOP advises that the program is not suitable for persons under the age of 15, and minors must be accompanied by an adult guardian or priest. This is John Deek speaking.
We should just start. Hello and welcome to FOFOP. I'm Will Anderson. Joining me is guest Charlie Lindsay Webb. Why am I talking like this? Because we're in a hotel room.
We're on the down low.
And it's late at night. I don't think that's what that means, Lindsay. No. I think if you said to people like that Will and I are on the down low, that may mean something else. On Urban Dictionary.
All right, we're on the shush.
Yeah, on the down low, I think would mean that, like, you as a married man
on the quiet
should not be in my hotel room.
All right, well, I'm standing back up.
Because to be honest,
is that what it means?
Yeah, I believe really? So. Yeah, well, that's certainly what Ice-T said it meant on an episode of Law and Order that I watched.
So. I'm not taking advice from a beverage.
No. It wasn't a glass of iced tea. It was the rapper who's named after, I imagine, the popular beverage.
Very popular.
Yeah.
Very popular. Okay.
Well, like, I imagine he is. It'd be weird if he just came up with that name independently and didn't even know and then felt embarrassed when he found out there was a product called iced tea. Ooh. Oh, God. My mate Solo's really good.
Oh, boy.
So we are here in Brisbane. I haven't done a FOFOP for a while. This is a few have gone up, but most of them I taped in January when I was in the US. So I think this might be the first Aussie one actually since then. We're in Brisbane. We've done them in hotel rooms in Brisbane before.
We have,
but not. Well, I'm not in the same hotel room. I've been staying in the same hotel for like about the last 10 years.
Quite
I reckon.
A while. Yeah, it would be.
And then
that'd be 10 years.
Then this time I'm. See, here's what happened, Liz.
Yes.
I'm in Brisbane at the moment.
Correct.
Performing at the Brisbane International Comedy Festival. Is it called the Brisbane International Comedy Festival? Or is it just the Brisbane Comedy Festival?
I feel maybe not international.
But I mean, that's just one of those words you just put in there.
Yeah.
There's international people who come here.
Yeah. So it could fit.
So it could be, right?
Yeah.
But they've just I think it's just the BCF.
Intergalactic Comedy Festival.
Yeah, could be.
I think it's just boating, camping, fishing.
That's what they should have done. They should have gone a little bit further more afield. Extreme. Like, you know, America, everything's a World Series, even though it's just games played in America.
The Galactic Gala.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's you can't spell galactic without gala.
It's trademark, by the way. Hashtag don't steal it. It's a pretty good idea.
Yeah, you might as well, right? You might as well just ramp it up, I reckon.
Go for it.
Yeah, so because the Melbourne Comedy Festival is actually the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
And which it is. Yep. You can't argue that. There's a lot of international people.
But Brisbane could be the bigger
foot. Go for it.
Yeah, galactic. If it wants to. Brisbane Intergalactic. Oh, I guess you need at least one. Because the Melbourne International Comedy Festival can be international because there are people there
who
have performed from overseas. Mm. And Brisbane could be international because there's people here who have performed overseas.
But what, you think galactic's a stretch?
I mean, I just feel like you have to have at least one. I feel like there would be some people who would be triggered by that, who would be like, oh, look at the Brisbane Intergalactic Comedy Festival. Yeah. But I've looked at their lineup and not one intergalactic performer. So once again, these lineups being dominated by humans at what is purportedly an intergalactic. Well, most the entirely humans. Look, check your human privilege. Everybody. That's what they would say.
Yeah, well, that would make it difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you build someone and they didn't show up, it would get UFO no-go.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, surely just ET doing some prank calls.
Just Skyping it in.
Can't get off the phone. Oh, yeah. ET Sky phone. He's updated his technology. Yeah, he doesn't have to come. There you go. You don't actually have to have them there. You can have ET on the Skype in the room.
Get Samsung to sponsor it.
you know, who you get out. You get Drew Barrymore to come out and do a sort of in conversation with.
You see?
So Drew Barrymore in conversation with E.T. So it's like, it's her grown up speaking to E.T., who's now really old.
Yeah, so what's been happening?
Yeah, what happened since you went home?
I'm home.
Yeah. And they just do like a Q&A. It's like a in conversation with Q&A with Drew Barrymore and E.T., the actual E.T.
Boom.
Yeah, Skyping it in. E.T. will not be appearing.
Asterix.
People holding up their glowing fingers. See, that'd be really good if E.T. did like, yeah, exactly, like those big foam fingers, but glowing.
The glow tip, like a magician.
Oh, yeah. Like, or like your phone lights up, like at a concert when you hear something good.
Just get a glowy finger.
So when he does one of the big, phone home, like, you have to drop some of the lines. Everybody, raises up their fingers. They all come on bikes. You got to ride there on a bike.
With a basket. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm coming.
So I'm here in Brisbane for the Brisbane Comedy Festival and staying in a new hotel room. And you know what I'm like. I don't really like change.
No.
Well, that's not true. My life is constantly in flux and change. So within that, you look for stability.
But there's a consistency, stability, isn't right? there? There's a consistency with staying at the other place.
Yeah.
You know how to get to places. You know where everything is.
That's kind of my thing is like, if my life is constantly never going to be in the one place, at least when I'm in those different places, can I be in the one place there? So that gives me some sort of anchor, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. I totally agree.
Do you have that? Well, tell me about what you look for when you're on the road.
I do exactly the same thing. I'd like to stay at a place that I've stayed at before or try something once, and if it's no good, I'll try something else again. But I do the same thing. I go back to the same places fairly regularly, and I will stay in exactly the same place. Like, I'm about to drive the kids down to see my dad at the farm, so it's a 13-hour drive, so split it in half, stay overnight. I know exactly the hotel in the small town that I'll stay in. It's the same one that I stayed in last time.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, I totally do that.
I mean, where will that be? Where's halfway between?
It's either going to be in Moree, so we can do the hot spring baths.
Okay, so hang on, tell me about the Moree hot spring baths.
Gunnedah. They're, well, you know, the artesian springs, you know, the hot water that runs
I know all the words you're saying, but I understand the language you're communicating.
Warm water sandwich. Yeah,
and if I had to take a guess, I'd imagine that in Moree there are some sort of artisanal hot springs.
Absolutely.
But I know no more than that. Mm. Like, I got all that information from the words you just said rather than me having any knowledge of it.
You can go and swim in them. They have pools and spas, like the hot jet just shooting straight out into the water like some sort of tail end of a speedboat.
How big are these hot springs? Like, are they like a lake or is it like a swimming pool? No,
they've made them into like pools, like in a swimming pool. Yeah, spas, indoor pools, spa centre.
But they're all together. Yeah, so some of them are spa-shaped and some are like...
No, they're square and rectangular mainly.
What makes them? How hot are they? How hot are they?
I want to say like maybe 35 or 40 degrees or something.
Oh, so hot. Like, warm. Like bath, spa temperature. Yeah. Not like heated pool. Like hotter than a heated pool.
Yeah, hotter than a heated pool.
Okay.
But it's very relaxing. High in minerals. Yeah, that's how they say it.
I'm actually pretty good with water temperature I have anyway, guys, I'm doing fine. I have a pool heater.
No pool.
But I just constantly get a bucket of water.
Just keep it at the same temperature. It's great.
It's great. I mean, some people think I've overspent for the task.
Not at all.
I mostly use it to make tea in the morning.
Warm water on demand.
Yeah, bad tea. I make really bad tea. In this like investment I got, they were like, don't you need a pool? I was like, I'll get this and it'll encourage me to get a pool.
No, it hasn't happened.
I have it's like a gas heater that heats up the pool.
Right.
And say for example, so you wouldn't run it all the time.
No.
But say for example, like New Year's Eve or whatever, we're having people over. And I want
to crack it on.
You crack it on for the day, right?
The big kettle out the back.
Exactly. And so I've become very aware of, because you can monitor on it, what the pool temperature is. And so I've done a lot of diving in at different temperatures to kind of ascertain what I think the...
You've got to test it. That's science.
Yeah. Wow. Is it science?
Yeah.
It's science.
If you write it down. Did you write it down?
No.
Like, I dived... Oh. If you'd have written it down,
Don't you need a hypothesis at the start? Isn't that part of science?
I don't think you need to go to uni. What?
And then you test your hypothesis, and then you come up with some conclusions, right? Isn't that science? Isn't that the scientific
sounds
method?
Sounds right.
I mean, I'm sure there's more beats to it than that, but it's very simple.
Can't you just have a method
form.
And a summary or something? Can't you just simplify that?
I mean, isn't the problem like with
a
the
graph.
World right now that
make a graph?
Do you think a giraffe is one of those animals that live in the desert? Like, and a baby giraffe. Oh, family of giraffes.
Yeah.
You guys like the Lion King, right?
Yeah.
My favorite were the giraffes.
What?
Do you think giraffes are giraffes?
No giraffes. You know, like pies.
Yeah. you mentioned the hot springs. What is the competing thing in Gunnedah? So obviously the hot springs are, because hot springs are they healing?
Oh, no, Moree.
Yeah, but no, that's what I'm saying. So Moree has the hot spa.
Oh, so there's,
so like at the moment I'm well in. If you had to choose somewhere, I'm like, well
we know
the hot
people.
Springs.
We know people in Gunnedah.
Okay.
So some friends from the birth group from when Jazz was born have moved to Gunnedah and started a cafe called Chattuccino's. Yeah.
Chattuccino.
Yeah.
Oh well, I mean, just for the pun alone.
Seriously. It's pretty good.
Is it because, because you go there to talk and also to drink coffee?
Yeah,
is that kind of,
that's what they've done. They've pun smashed that right together.
Chattuccino's. I mean, so they're the sort of people who are encouraging chatting?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it leads to more coffee.
Does it?
Well, if you talk longer. So. Like, it takes me a long time to drink a coffee.
I mean, I know. Oh, my God. It takes you days. Days to drink a coffee. I've never seen someone. You'd be like, if you ever get asked, what do you need on a desert island? You say, one coffee. It'll be fine. Come pick me up in 6 months. I'll almost be done on this one coffee.
Since you pointed it out, I've noticed. I do.
You are the slowest coffee drinker I've ever met in my entire life. I'm a fast coffee drinker. Too fast.
Sometimes that's what I think.
No, too fast. But even for people who drink what I would actually say was the normal rate.
Is there
which
a normal rate?
Which is your heaps slower than. heaps slower than. You're like that Eddie the Eagle. You're like one of those people at the Olympics who's in the swimming and it's the first time they've been in a 50-meter pool. That's what you are. That's how slow you are, right? But I'm a fast coffee drinker and I'm trying to slow it down because I'm trying to drink less coffee.
You enjoy it more.
Yeah.
Drink it longer. That's not a convincing argument.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think you would.
I'm trying to drink. How many coffees a day do you think is too many?
Well, I don't know about too many. I don't know. I think individuals have too many. Some people have one and that's enough for a day. I have three a day, generally. There's many days where I might have only two, but generally three a day.
It would be rare that I have less than four. And when I'm doing Gruen, I probably have eight a day.
I think, you know, under 10 if you're busy, but if you're not doing anything.
It's a lot. Yeah, well, so now that I'm not like, so when I do press or whatever, I had to do some press this morning and it was the gala was last night when we were recording this in Melbourne. Afterwards, you know, there was a little after party that I just made a polite lap of because I hosted the gala. And so, I mean, I know you know that.
It's tiring.
But I was saying it for the people at home.
April
2 on the ABC, by the way. You can see the Melbourne International Comedy Festival Gala for the very first time on the ABC.
Tons of great comics.
Tons of great comics. I was running you through how well everybody got.
Oh, man, sounds amazing.
And one of the things to look out for is how strong this was just something that I hadn't actually thought of. And Lindsay and I just started talking about who had been good on the night. And after a while,
we had a realization.
Yeah, that the women had really killed it.
Yeah, the ladies.
Everybody had done really well.
Yeah.
But I like when I was talking about the real highlights of the night, I named a whole bunch of female comedians who I thought had done, including Demi Lardner, who I'm going to give a massive shout out to because it was her. It was her first ever gala. 2,000 people at the Regent. It's the biggest sort of gig in Australian comedy. And it's going to go on telly.
Yeah.
And Demi, for people that aren't familiar with her work, she's quirky. Like, her comedy is, like, offbeat, you know.
It's very clever, though.
Very clever. Oh. And she's very talented.
Sharp. Yeah.
But it's not necessarily your sort of, mainstream, at the big gala. And the people who go and sit in the audience for a gala, these aren't necessarily hardcore comedy fans.
The theatre types, would you say?
Right.
Mm.
They're the people who pay $120 to see just the best 4 minutes of everybody in the festival. I don't want to go to a whole show.
I haven't got the time
for that. Don't have to concentrate on your ideas for an hour.
Jeeves is waiting with the car.
Do your best 4 minutes, monkey, and then show me someone else. Right?
God.
You
make it sound lovely.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, there's a lot of things about that gig that are not ideal for comedy. So it's why when someone goes out there and just slayed it. It's such a great spot. Good. She did such a good job. But yeah, there was a whole range of people. But
well, when you were running through the names, I made the comment that it seemed like there was a great amount of female comics involved, which I said that was awesome.
Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, here's the one thing I would say, if I have one complaint about the lineup.
All right.
Absolutely no one from outer space. And again, when...
Well, hang on, Moon Man was there.
Oh, hang on, sorry.
Lawrence Mooney.
You're right. You're right. Moon Man. The Moon Man.
We've got the Galactic Festival. We found it.
Hang on. But he's not actually from the moon. So isn't that appropriation?
Come on.
Isn't that
it's an arts festival.
Isn't he doing Moonface? This is another scandal.
No, he's Moon Man.
No, Moonface is Bert Newton. Mm. So, yeah.
Dude.
A lot of aliens watching Bert Newton on the TV just going, this is offensive to us. Typical moon face. Why does he think this is appropriate? You've ruined Bookwick.
I think we can make this work. This is good.
So Gunnedah, they've got the... So here's what I was going to say about the coffees and the cafe situation, I guess, was my question. Is how do you make money? Like, I get the whole, if you run a hole in the wall where you're just constantly making coffee because your overheads are low, you're not having people sit around and take up your space and stuff like that. You're just kind of serving. And there's been, it seems like in Melbourne and stuff now, there's all these little hole in the walls where they've just put in a coffee machine.
There's a guy running
a
place out of a shoebox.
Right.
It's just a shoebox.
I mean, a shoebox and one...
You know, like a
one
crate, not a wooden box, a wooden box.
Yeah.
But he has a wooden box with a coffee machine on it. That's it. The cup stacked on top of the coffee machine, and he's just selling coffee after coffee.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. And it's all these little tiny spaces in the city and stuff that they've repurposed into these kind of cool little... Man. And so that's the best way to do it.
I remember when you used to have to go to David Jones to get an espresso.
That coffee at David Jones was always pretty good, I thought. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to go there. I also remember that, yes. And...
That was the thing, farm people, I don't know if it's a thing that lots of people did, but we, you know, for us on the farm, we used to go to David Jones. Yep. That was fancy.
Yeah, we go to the food hall downstairs and you get a nice coffee at David Jones. Yeah. And it was always good.
It was good. It's good coffee.
Yeah. There is no other store like David Jones. This podcast brought to you by David Jones. Unless Maya offers us some money.
Because we've got a galactic lineup.
Whose joke was that? That's such a great joke. I've heard probably people make... But
there is a Brisbane comic, Chris Wainhouse, that used to do There's No Other Store Like David Jones, well, except Meyer.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, Chris Wainhouse. I've heard other versions of it, but that's as good. He was probably the person I heard.
He's the one that I remember.
Yeah, say it first. Because it's just such a... one. It's one of those things that, because it is such an observation that is, of course, obvious... Once you think...
Which is one of those...
That's the beauty. They're those great jokes.
Yeah.
You know, and after a while, those jokes then become hack, not because the original person.
That's true.
I think about this with airline food all the time, right? Airline food was terrible and everybody knew it. But up until the first guy who made that joke.
Yeah.
The first one who was like, hey guys, I'm just going to tell it like it is.
Yeah.
Airline food.
That was fresh
material.
It's
not very good. Can you imagine the relief on everybody going, oh, my God, he's saying what we've all been thinking.
It's true.
It isn't very good.
Why isn't anyone else mentioning this?
Seriously. This is an unusual situation, and our taste buds actually change in the air, and they have to kind of prepare it all in a place where they're not really out of open flame. It turns out that these are not the ideal situations to prepare good food.
But I think now, some of these new planes... They're fancy pants business and first class. I think they've got a bar and a grill and everything. I think they've got the lot.
They're
having barbecues and sangria up the top there.
There is actually much better stuff on board. I do believe that is true. Because the other thing I love is it always feels like when you catch aeroplanes, The experiences, you're just never quite sure what you're going to get anymore.
Oh, no.
It's a real... It seems it's like in the old days... Qantas was in Australia, it was kind of the prestige airline, right?
Yeah, it was. Fancy.
And everything was really nice. Even in economy, you got quite a, a decent enough meal. You got a prepared meal.
You get free beers no matter where you were sitting and who you were.
Right.
The whole time.
So this was, what you used to think it was. But nowadays, sometimes you still get really good service on Qantas.
You can.
And then on other days, they throw some... inedible mush in a box at you.
Oh, man.
That, like, it's some idea. It's always foods that it's like they've gone to some place where they're testing new foods.
See if people eat this.
Yeah, is there any chance that...
I don't think they will.
They won't.
And you always know. You hear all the full boxes going back. They're always just these things
that you go...
What the fuck?
You go, what is this?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what this food is.
Everyone's doing it. I flew Virgin back from Adelaide last week, right? Yep. 2.5-hour flight from Adelaide to Brisbane. The snack service was an oatmeal cookie. Like you might find like on the tray of a hotel, an oatmeal cookie and a plastic cup with water tipped from a bigger bottle into it and handed to you. I'm like, oh my God. It's like grade 5 camp recess. This is really going backwards.
Until you got to the water, I was fine with the cookie.
Yeah, but it's just, what? Give up. I don't worry about it.
I don't mind when they give us a cookie. I'm actually still a person that...
Yeah.
But here's what I would say.
I just don't see the point.
In America, one of the airlines, or maybe even a couple of the airlines, at the end, like, and there's shit, most of the time, it's also shit, they're right. Terrible. Like, they won't even, yeah. Like, that idea of going, like, when you ask for a drink, you go, give me a small can, right?
Yeah.
Don't... pour me like a tiny little bit in this tiny little
one
cup.
Ice cube.
Would you like a slurp of Coke?
Yeah, sure.
I thought I did, but it turns out that wasn't enough Coke. I didn't really want Please, Coke before, sir, but I now I more? Really want Coke. But they give you a warm cookie at the end. I'm happy with a warm cookie.
A warm cookie.
That's the difference to me.
Well,
if you're willing to warm the cookie, if it's got some sort of chocolate in it or whatever,
yeah.
And they warm it up. Wow. I feel like that elevates the cookie from going to them not trying enough to it being something
cold
special.
Cold oatmeal cookie? Not very nice.
No, but warm oatmeal cookie would have been nice.
Wow.
And maybe a small glass of milk.
Well,
that
yeah.
would have been delicious.
Plastic cup with a splash of milk.
Little plastic, one just of those little UHT containers.
I just drink out of that. I just drink straight from
and
that.
And a straw. Tiny straw. God, I hate that milk.
Oh, I don't use that milk. I'll have it black. And avoid that milk.
Oh, it's disgusting to my taste.
And I can drink black tea.
I apologise to my dairy farmer parents about me complaining about any types of milk.
Oh, it's not right, that stuff.
It's not. It's terrible.
It's not right. Anything that can survive outside of a fridge that shouldn't is the work of demons.
I mean, I don't think that's science.
Seriously, milk should be in a fridge.
How do you feel about sauce?
Sauce doesn't
like
need to be
tomatoes,
in a fridge.
Like tomato sauce.
That doesn't need a fridge.
So once it's opened, you wouldn't keep the tomato sauce in. You'd just keep it in the cupboard.
Yeah. Building up your resistance.
No, I mean,
no, I do.
A lot of people keep it in the cupboard.
Totally do.
But I keep it in the fridge.
All the sauce. Mayonnaise in the fridge.
Well, yes.
Well, I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, come on. It's not the fucking zombie apocalypse, Lindsay. We've still got standards.
Only once it's open, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true. No. Okay. Good. Good point. Take that on board. Like you got your lawyer involved. It's like second chair stepped in to add some extra details.
Well, technically.
Remember, only once it's open.
Oh, yeah, only once it's open.
Oh, iced tea's here.
Good.
Oh, and you can keep it in or out of the fridge.
Yeah, not like ice cube. Got to stay in the freezer.
Iced tea's coming around to visit his friend hot tea. Oh, warm tea made with my pool heater.
Good on you with the pool heater.
We were speaking about, hey, I think I'm just getting a little rattle where your hold.
I'm touching
just,
the switch there.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
excited.
All it is, I think.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the farm and...
Oh, yeah, that's exciting.
So
I always like going to the farm.
Yeah, so I have been... we were having a little chat in Adelaide about the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been wondering how to talk about this topic on the podcast, and I think you'd be a good person to talk to about it because you have, like, you know, also a kind of rural background,
yeah,
so you probably will have a greater understanding of it. But so where I grew up, Denison, you know, 250 mm-hmm. people, our nearest town where I went to primary school and played like footy, cricket, basketball, all those sort of things, is a town called Hayfield.
Yeah, it's been in the news a bit lately.
Yeah, it has. It's been in the news a lot. Hey. Not so hay as in
hay.
Yeah, so yeah,
not as in hay for the cows,
yeah. So basically,
which is weird because a lot of dairy there.
Yeah, a lot of people think it. Well, when the people hear it, they always spell it when they write it to me, yeah. Hay, because they always think it's like hay as in like a bale of hay,
no,
or like oh, there's a field full of hay, whereas it's like no, hay, there's a field full of hay.
I imagine that it was named after a field that was quite big, and to talk to someone on the other side, hey! So that was always known as the hay field.
That's not bad.
Because it was quite wide.
I thought it was probably just like, hey, it's a field.
Hey, hey, there's a field. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's take theirs out of that sentence, and then we got the name.
It's a bit like Harvey Bay.
Right.
Which has a Harvey Norman in it. It's very confusing.
A Harvey Norman? Did they have a Harvey Norman in Harvey Bay?
They should have done that.
Surely they should have.
They should have.
Just for that one place.
Absolutely. They should totally have changed the A to an E just in Harvey Bay.
Okay, so Hayfield has been in the news a lot, particularly in Victoria. But, yeah, it's been a bit of nationwide news. And now Hayfield is a town where I was growing up there. I reckon it was about 1,200 people. It might have swelled to 2,000 at its peak. You know, but not a big town though, obviously, by any standards. The basketball team I play for were called the Hayfield Loggers, and the reason they were called the Hayfield Loggers is that the main industry in Hayfield is logging. Yeah, is timber. It's a timber town, as they call it. And it meant that I grew up in an environment where I was very aware of the fact that we lived near a timber town.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
People chop down trees. And that was the industry that came out of where we were from. And, like, you were very aware of it in many ways because, like, you played cricket and basketball and stuff with people who didn't have their fingers. Because that's, like, they have one of the things they're talking about this. Anyway, I'll get to, we can walk through it a little bit. But it looks like the temp. To really dumb this down, because I don't know enough of the details.
The quota's been taken away, hasn't it?
But essentially, yes. The timber mill has become unsustainable to that company that owns it.
400 employees, is that what they have?
Well, somewhere I've heard numbers between 250 to 400.
Numbers.
But the other thing is, it's the wider effects on the town. So if they lose the mill, and if 250 people work there out of, like, let's say 1,000 people in the whole area work.
That's a lot.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a lot of the workforce.
Absolutely.
And suddenly you talk about the schools and stuff. Like, they were talking to the principals of the primary schools, and they might lose 60-70% of, and then suddenly you lose the schools, right? So does the whole town shut down? Like, it might be that point where you go, well, maybe this just becomes one of those ghost towns.
Is this one of those places where you end up being able to buy it for $10 or something online?
I mean, this had not occurred to me, but maybe I'll go back and buy Hayfield.
I've just thought. That's what I'm thinking.
And just call it Will Anderson Presents Hayfield.
Hayfield.
But you have to say that at all times.
It's going to be brilliant.
Fantastic. I got to be honest with you. I had not seen the investment opportunity. I was about to really weigh in for the people of Hayfield, but what I realize is that you've Richard geared it in Pretty Woman. You're a guy who buys companies and breaks them up into smaller companies and sells them up. And
woo,
yeah, right.
Hey,
whatever it was he did in that movie.
It's your heyday. Like
Wow. Yeah, I had not thought about that.
Might be able to save the town.
Anyway, so what is happening to, like, make a long story short, is that the government
they've offered to
step in some way, but I don't want to get bogged down in details because I've read so much stuff around it and I'm not an expert
on
it.
Don't they want to buy the mill?
Yes, but there's complications with that, and the company doesn't want to do that, and they want to take it off, whatever, you know, something. But the problem is also, so what happened was, I've been contacted, obviously, a lot as being someone who's
you can speak for
from
the
there,
potential investor,
and as a potential buyer.
It's natural forest, isn't it? It's not farmed.
Well,
wood.
No. So here's again. I don't want to. Sorry. I don't. No. Good question. So this is where it gets more complicated,
right?
Because this is one of those times when, and this is, I think, how hard it is to be a human being, and what we don't.
Well, it's very tricky.
What we don't concentrate on enough is, two things can be true at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth of it is, when it comes to my opinions on the environment and chopping down trees and stuff like that, some of the stuff I've read around this that aren't from the people of Hayfield, you know, that are more commentary about the issues and why, you know, they can't get approval for what it is they want to do and whatever, I've been convinced by some of those arguments because I'm sympathetic to that sort of way of looking at the world.
Yeah, of course.
But I also have that, you know, personal connection to going, oh, these aren't like numbers to me. This is a town that might shut down because of this thing. And then you start to realize, you know, what's happening in America and whatever is because a lot of the time it's because these, you know, working class people, there was no foresight into planning for those the industries to...
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And then I've read other commentary that if we...
Sustainability.
Right. And I've read other commentary also around the idea that Australia does these things actually pretty well, you know, by the standards of what you can, yep. you know, log and, you know, how much they yep. replant and
we're
all these sort of things.
We're not just going carte blanche.
And so that if these jobs went overseas, they'd probably actually go to markets where they don't have the same high standards right. as we do here. So we'd actually yeah. be going, oh, we're fixing it here, but we're actually making it worth somewhere else.
There's places in
right.
the tropical islands where people come from other countries and steal the wood from your islands. Like, they just forest areas, they just take forests away, like just
I
stolen.
Mean, great escape style? Do you no, have to like, tuck it down your trousers
no,
and just
such
be like,
vast
is
areas.
A, hang on, is that a tree in here? That isn't a... Hang on, mate, have you? No.
Just me and my trunks.
It's all right, mate. Just, it's got a little wood here. I'm just... It's just the...
Come on, mate.
Is the bus went over a bump funny? It's a flat one, mate.
So. Hit the ripple strips on the side.
Why do you have 8 boogie board bags? It's definitely not weight. Well, I mean, it is weight. It is weight. It's definitely not trees.
Gotta go. Really gotta go.
So you get to that point where, like, I mean, these are real people. And these are real lives. And these are lives that may...
And for generations, their right. families have done that, right?
And to get to the point I was going to make before, but I didn't want to skip ahead,
mm.
logging is a really dangerous industry. So over the Absolutely. Years, there has been tens of, like, you know, I think 60 or 70, again, I don't want to, like, get things wrong and try to offend somebody by
some not of these figures may not be yeah. totally accurate.
But there's been, you know, over 50 people who have died in the right. line of, you know, over the years of the generations, you know, being yeah. loggers. So, yeah, there's certainly, you know, like people have worked for something, to build a town, to build a community, sure. to build lives and whatever.
Yeah.
And part of that has been through logging. So,
given a lot.
So it's been a really, I like it's confronted me a little bit because I'm like, because I want to support them, obviously, but also I have complex feelings about the broader issue and I also don't understand enough about it and haven't had the time. Because, you know,
right.
this type period of the yeah, year, I've been so fucking busy. I'd love to actually go and, you know, probably speak to a bunch of people and kind of try to work it out a little bit more. But
is dairy farming the next biggest industry in the area?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Right.
I mean, like all around farming. And then, yeah, I guess it's just like farming in between like Hayfield and, you know, the nearest sort of Hayfield-like town.
Right. Well, it's
and I don't really know what else they would do there. Like, I mean, the only thing they had in town...
Cabins?
Like
Airbnb?
But you need wood for those.
Wood cabins.
The problem is...
I've got the solution to all of this. We're just going to need just a few right. more trees.
Yeah. Here's just our compromise.
Just a few more.
Here's our compromise. We just need enough for 24 cabins.
That's it.
That's it.
That's just 20. Just quickly.
24 cabins and we walk away now.
What do you think?
What do you think?
Who's in? Who's?
Can you imagine that guy coming back out of the meeting going, hey, guys, I made a deal.
24 cabins.
24 cabins.
They can be big cabins.
Yeah.
Big cabins if you like.
Yeah, I do worry. I mean, I don't know what the solution is.
Monorail. Round through the forest, you know, show people the ecosystem.
I mean, they
ecosystem.
Have Lake, they have Lake Glen Maggie down there, which is actually quite a beautiful... it's quite beautiful. It doesn't have any hot springs, but what? Right. Maybe I could lend them my pool heater.
All round.
They'd be like, the Hayfield Hot Springs. And they're like...
The Will Anderson Hot Springs.
The Will Anderson presents the Hayfield Hot Springs. People would be bathing in the hot springs going, this is a miracle of nature. Meanwhile, I'm down the other end with my pool heater. Ironically, having to burn so much gas to keep this thing going. I've opened up a coal seam gas line underneath just to power the pool heater. I'm like, this is my only solution, guys.
All year swimming.
Enjoy your swim.
Right here in Hayfield. It's the heyday.
Yeah, the only big event we used to have in town was the Hayfield Timber Festival.
Of course.
And I used
to... Everyone used to chip in.
I used to... I saw it coming, but...
Yeah. Did they ever branch out from the Timber Festival?
I don't know. They kept a log, so I will go back and check it, I guess.
Yeah. We don't want to leave anything out.
All right. So yeah, the Hayfield Timber Festival pretty much was just that sort of stuff, though. A lot of wood
they have
chopping.
A parade and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing.
Sideshow.
I was never much interested in the even back then. I was never much interested in like chopping down trees.
No,
like I was a kid.
Yeah, fair enough.
I loved climbing up trees and stuff. Yeah, you know, it always felt like that was, you know, like I was like, I never was like a person who responded to the idea of like, let's chop down a tree.
No, it wasn't a thing we did on our farm either. We planted trees. Yeah. We used ones that fell over naturally for firewood. We never chopped them down.
No. And then the other thing was that I think just selfishly, I hated like the kind of timber industry because that the Hayfield Timber Festival was always the weekend that was around my birthday.
Oh, and stealing I always, thunder.
You know what? Like it always felt like it did.
Yeah.
It always felt like everybody, no one ever really concentrated on my birthday because everybody had their fucking mind on the Hayfield Timber Festival.
Bloody hell. And then you uprooted.
I said, I'm going to leave. And there's nothing you can do about it. Oh man!
So does I don't does that still happen at the festival? At the
sadly, maybe that's that's
dwindled
the problem,
off.
Right?
There's a sign, isn't it?
Yeah.
No enthusiasm.
Yeah.
People, I guess the people that aren't involved in the timber industry, would it be fair to say that they're a bit embarrassed about the timber industry in Hayfield?
No, I think it's actually been really good to the town, and I think, like, I mean, I think that all the people who work in it, this is a tiny little country town,
yeah,
and these are people who work with the land and all those sort of things, and I think that. You know, certainly the messages I'm hearing out of it is that they have great respect for, you know, in the same way as like farmers have become really good environmentalists because
that's
the
true.
Idea of becoming like if you work on the land that you need to understand and work with the land. That is the philosophy.
There
that
is a lot more appreciation for it now. Yeah.
There's a lot more of that, I think, in the timber industry as well. Maybe not at the top end, the corporate end, but in the sort of day-to-day of people who work, I think they're quite proud of the fact that they work in the timber industry, and I don't think they see themselves as being people who are doing a bad thing. I think they would point out all the positive things and the way we do it.
Well,
there's
heaps of positives.
Right.
Yeah.
So, again, I don't know enough about it.
People see images of forests disappearing. Right. And don't like it as they sit on their wooden chair.
Well, it's evocative. But that's absolutely right. What you're saying is, like, my house has hardwood floors, right?
Of course. Probably has hardwood beams in the roof and posts, you know, all sorts of stuff. And skirting boards.
Yeah, we need wood.
Yeah.
We use it all the time.
Absolutely.
Like, Bunnings would go broke. Can you imagine?
No.
Like, they wouldn't be selling many sausages. There's no wood, right?
You know, planks for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all right. I actually thought we'd gone over everything, but I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong.
I thought we were just lumbering through.
No, you just had to sand it back a little and you got there and you nailed it. So,
but you're quite right. It is one of those.
It's one of those things where I'm just. I don't think there's any perfect solution to what's happening because I think it's important to care about the planet and those sort of things. But I also think it's important that these human beings have lives and jobs and industries and stuff.
I think what you said earlier, you know, sometimes two things can be true.
Yeah,
that is quite right.
And so, but you're right about the timber festival. They should have seen the writing on the wall when the festival went. I reckon that's. Again, and I'm not trying to...
It's indicative, isn't it?
Here's what I would say is, if I am going to, like, save the town...
Bring the festival back.
Well, that's it.
It's the first thing. Till a year.
I've got to...
biannual festival.
I've got to reconcile my personal feelings about it ruining my birthday.
Yeah.
And I've got to embrace it, and I've got to come back...
Move the date.
...as its saviour. Like, change the date. Once we're done with the changing Australia Day, I've changed two dates. I now have two dates that we need to change. I've got a list of dates I'd like us to change.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. I'll come back and I go...
First of all.
It's now the Hayfield Intergalactic Timber Festival.
Yes! Moon Man!
That's how we get the crowds back.
Lawrence Mooney leading the parade.
Hang on. I think there's going to be an alien chopping wood against David Foster.
David Foster. Yes.
Was that him? He was the famous wood chopper, right?
He was good at it.
There was a family of them, wasn't there?
I believe so, yeah.
They used to be, I don't know if this happened
such
overseas.
Such a popular thing. I mean,
but,
it's amazing.
In Australia, for a while, it was like quite popular.
Yeah.
That it was a thing on TV.
The Golden Axe.
That you would just turn on TV.
Yeah.
And there'd be blokes again. This was a different time. This was the time where. Yeah. But this was what the Hayfield Timber Festival was.
They would get a 25-minute VB commercial.
They'd get you David Foster in, and then you'd have a wood chopping competition. Yeah, against, and it was always fun.
Always.
Like, even back then, even through my resentment, I could always enjoy a wood chopping competition.
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's the nice white linen, sharp axes, gleaming.
I mean, always a singlet. And absolutely. You'd always just look at their style.
Yeah. They dress like an off-duty painter.
Oh. Or a guy who sells pills at nightclubs.
Yes.
Yeah.
White overalls.
Yeah.
And their axes. Oh, sharp hands.
I mean, sharp. Oh, I guess, right? It's so dangerous, accurate. Right?
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's a really dangerous sport, I imagine.
Oh, sure. I bet, there'd be some toes. There'd be some toes and fingers.
Yeah, you'd imagine right?
And they climb up those things, some of them that, you know, they're straight up.
Well, maybe this is what we've got to bring back. Like, absolutely. This is, got to get the wood chopping back for a start.
Mm.
Make that sexy again. Because that's what I think the problem is, right? Like, yes. The timber industry...
It needs a makeover.
It needs a makeover.
Yeah.
So we get the Hayfield Intergalactic Timber Festival.
I love it.
Back together, trademark. We do a reboot, because I remember the song. I've talked about the song before on the podcast, but this was the song. It's the Hayfield Timber Festival, and I hope you're going to be there too. Yeah, I hope you're going to be there too. That was it.
Great.
Yeah.
That's good.
We'll rework that.
We can work with that.
We'll do a... What do you reckon? What's the current... Who's the big, like, artist of the day that people enjoy? I mean, would Adele do it?
Oh, for sure.
Hey,
her potty
Field.
Mouth should be perfect.
Hey, Field, it's me.
Is it wood you're looking for?
No, someone local. We should be able to get someone, like... Who's someone who, like, is into environment... Oh, no, it's kind of not really environmentalism. No, we need, like...
It's more...
We need your Nick Cody... Quite. Of the music world. You know, someone who's like Nick Cody goes on stage and is proudly anti...
Yeah.
The thing I love about Nick Cody is he's one of my like favourite comedians and like one of the best blokes in comedy, and he's anti everything I'm into. Like all the things he complains about on stage are all the things I am.
You've ticked all the boxes.
That's why I know how he's so funny, because I'm like, I disagree with all of this. But you're right.
But still disagree.
Yeah, but we need that of music. So we need someone who's a bit unapologetic, who wants to associate... Oh, you know who? Like, it feels... AC/DC is probably too big. Oh. We probably can't get AC/DC, no, but... Not. Could we get, like, a... Oh, I don't know. It's hard to...
Hilltop Hoods?
Maybe. I mean, I know them.
I reckon. They'd do that.
Maybe.
They could make that cool.
I mean, I reckon maybe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're good at theming, you know.
All right. So we get the Hilltop Hoods.
Yep.
We call them the Hayfield Hoods just for
the Hayfield.
Yeah.
The Will Anderson Presents.
Will Anderson Presents the Hayfield Hoods. Starring the Hilltop Hoods.
Yes.
As the Hayfield Hoods. It's a big introduction.
It's a long ticket. Yeah.
Anyway.
It's going to print out for ages.
Well, it's a really big ticket because you know what paper's made of?
Timber!
Another victory for us.
Who is it that sings that song, I'm going down, I'm yelling timber? Is it like Pitbull or someone?
Oh, right.
There's a...
There
I
is
just
one,
remembered
right?
There's like I'm yelling timber. Who is that?
I don't know.
But whoever that is.
I don't know who any of the songs that sound like that are.
Book them.
But
book
Pitbull whoever. Probably.
Yeah, I think.
Probably Pitbull,
it's,
right?
It stinks like Pitbull.
You know what we should do? We should have a break.
Yes. Work out who that is.
Work out who that is.
I will work that out.
And then we'll be right back.
All right. We'll see you in a sec.
It's going down. I'm yelling timber. You better move. You better dance. Let's make a night. You won't remember.
We're back. We had a little break.
That was good.
I googled some. It turns out you're right. Pitbull lyrics.
It is. Yeah. Pity.
And, yeah. And you did. You did say to me, I don't know if it was on air or off. I think it might have been off air. You said. I reckon maybe there's some Kesha. Some Kesha involved
could
in there
be
as well.
Kesha.
So you're right. You're absolutely
turns out
right.
There is.
But you also grabbed a drink, which I described as you're drinking sunscreen. Because describe what you're drinking.
It's a Bundaberg product.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Bundy. A pineapple and coconut sparkling drink.
Pineapple and coconut sparkling drink.
Sparkling drink catches my attention.
Yeah.
Sparkling drink.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I don't mind a sparkling drink, but I'm not sure that I would combine pineapple and coconut. It just feels like a little, like sunscreen. It feels like something you should rub on you, but not put in your lungs. That's what I would say. Not your lungs. I don't know how you drink. It goes in your lungs, apparently. I am not a doctor.
Not going well. See, it's sweet and sour.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be too sweet. I don't know.
It's pretty full on. Reminds me of drinking like Malibu or something.
Well, I feel like this is really appropriate for where we've got ourselves to, because I'm now Googling Pitbull lyrics.
Okay. Oh, great.
By the way, isn't it great that we now have this, the internet?
Yeah.
Yeah, this hive mind where we can share all of humanity's information. And the good news is that I can Google Pitbull lyrics and there are like 8 different sites that will provide me that information.
Wow.
In the old days, you had to listen to the songs. Remember when you get an album, sometimes they'd have the lyrics in the album.
In the sleeve.
And that'd be great, so you could learn the lyrics. But sometimes an album would come along and it didn't have them.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, well, I'll just never know.
Yes.
That's it. So anyway,
now
we do not live in that age anymore.
No way.
So great poets, modern day Shakespeare's like Pitbull, can have their words immortalized.
Do you reckon he writes his songs?
Pitbull, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Puts pen to paper.
Yeah, I reckon. Because why would you, if you were a good songwriter, write songs for someone who's as ugly and untalented as Pitbull?
Define good songwriter. Let's check out some of the lyrics.
He's really like popular, I reckon, Pitbull.
Oh, he's huge.
Yeah, he's huge, right?
I mean, Kesha works.
But he doesn't look like he looks like the guy who's normally the guy behind
the pop
band. Yes. Like, he's the guy who maybe wrote the songs.
Yeah.
But he's like too... Well, like, he looks like that too much. He's like,
maybe that's what it is.
But he's just managed.
Maybe he is the guy that writes the songs and went, damn it, I'm doing them.
I think that's what happened.
Even though I look like a pit bull.
Again, I could just Google that information, but let's just speculate I think.
I like to hypothesize.
So I'm going to read through the lyrics because let's just read through the lyrics first, find out what the jam is about.
Yes.
And then
you're very funky with your
talk. And then we can see how it applies. Could possibly apply to the Hayfield Timber Festival, because that's really
Will
where
Anderson presents.
Will Anderson presents the Hayfield Intergalactic Timber Festival.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right.
With theme song by the Hilltop Woods.
Absolutely. Or perhaps
Pitbull and Kesha.
Kesha.
So, featuring Kesha.
Yes.
So.
It's either Kesha or Pressure.
So Kesha, that's very good, Lindsay.
Thank you.
For the niche audience, the people who know both the names of MCs from the Hilltop Hoods and also enjoy the work of Kesha.
Well, you know, if you don't, you'll have to suffer.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Just don't leave any debris. So, all right, we've ticked them all off now. Everyone got a shout out. Don't want anyone to feel disrespected.
Don't want any mood, tweet.
All right, here we go. Timber featuring Kesha. Kesha, of course, spells with a dollar sign in the middle. Let's never forget that. So Kesha starts it off, even though it's featuring her.
Oh, featuring right up the front.
Yeah, she opens. It's going down. I'm yelling Timber. So Kesha's the one we need, because she's the one who's shouting out to Timber, right?
We do need her.
So it's going down. I'm yelling Timber.
Standard procedure.
Which is good.
So far.
That's what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
Safety procedure.
On board.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone happy.
Right. Yell Timber.
She will have to wear high vis though.
I mean, I think she'd be fine with that.
Yes.
I think she'd make it work.
Absolutely.
Kesha will look good in high vis.
Yeah.
It's going down. I'm yelling Timber. You'd better move. You better move. I would have gone with you'd better move, but you better move.
You
better move is fine. You better move. Now...
Yes.
Up until this point, I'm with Kesha.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going down.
Yeah.
She's yelling Timber. This works for the Timber Festival,
standard
right?
Standard procedure. Yep. You better move.
You better move.
Good advice.
That is great advice.
Solid.
You better dance. Okay. Now, this is where, for the Timber Festival, we need some notes. Because that is not part, as far as I'm aware.
I'm running away.
I would have been.
But I'm foxtrotting away.
I would have been much more interested in the timber industry if part of it was involving breaking out and dance. Mm-hmm. Like if it was some sort of flash mob component.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Forest flash mob.
Yeah. We cut down 3 nut bushes. So you better dance. Let's make a night you won't remember.
Oh.
Oh. That, I mean, that feels a little like...
a little creepy.
A little Cosby, I got to be honest with you, Kesha. Yeah. Is this Pitbull featuring Cosby?
Why am I not remembering?
Oh, Cosby sweater. Anyway, this is coming together.
This is all right. it's looking more like the Hilltops.
I love the idea that there's just one person who's... their two main interests are Kesha and the Hilltop Hoods, and they're enjoying this podcast more than anybody else in history. But like, finally something that services my niche needs.
Perfectly.
That's what podcasts were invented for.
Absolutely.
Let's make a night you won't remember. I'll be the one you won't forget. Oh, okay. Well, there's a lot going on there, Kesha. Boy. So they're going to have a night. Well, again, that still sounds a little sexual assaulty, doesn't it?
It does. Well, you won't remember, but you won't forget.
Forget.
Me.
That really sounds like being assaulted.
That sounds like... to me, that sounds like something blurry happened.
Yeah, but
and you're
now,
all I remember.
Now it'll haunt me for the rest of my life.
Kesha, how do you spell a name with a dollar sign? Sure, mate.
Yeah, sure, mate. Well, that's what she said.
Go back to bed. You're hungover.
Okay. Well, that... and I feel like people wrote those lyrics, by the way.
And you're going
down. I'm not blaming Kesha.
And, well,
I'm blaming people.
Absolutely.
Okay. So then she says, whoa.
Ooh.
Timber.
Oh, yeah, more.
Whoa. Timber.
Okay.
Whoa. It's going down. Whoa. Timber. Whoa. Timber. Whoa.
Really?
It's going down.
This was written by someone that fell asleep on a keyboard.
Like someone wrote this. It was written by someone.
Pitbull?
It doesn't even matter what you said after. It was written by someone. Somebody
took the time.
Took whatever time it takes.
Cut and paste.
Says a man reading it out on a podcast. So.
There's a lot of cut and paste.
Pitbull gets involved at this stage.
Okay, here we go.
The bigger they are,
the harder they fall.
The harder they fall.
Yes.
I mean, that speaks to me about the timber industry, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And also about the fact that, like, timber once was big and now it's falling hard and it's destroying people's lives.
And the bigger they are, industry was massive, now it's fallen. A lot of metaphors.
Yeah, I like it, Pitbull. He's got straight to the point.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-oh. So, here's the thing.
Your turn.
turns out Pitbull led with all his best stuff. So... it was like it was like watching a Donald Trump press conference, and he said one thing sensible.
Got everything. Like,
oh, hang on, he's fine. Oh.
Oh, trick me.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Yes,
these big itty boys are dig giddy dogs.
Is there words missing? Is there letters missing?
It says, and again, someone took some
giggity dogs.
So here's what I would say.
Yes.
Firstly, let's just repeat the original point that someone took time out of their precious life. Someone who has computer skills. Someone
possibly
who understands how to post this to the internet.
Okay.
Anyway.
I feel there's
they've
a spell
spelt here. It these big itty. Biggity.
Biggity.
Biggity boys biggity are boys. Diggity dogs.
Diggity dog.
Okay. I've never heard the song. But, okay, next line. I have them... like Miley Cyrus, close off. Now, here's the thing.
Yes.
Right? Miley Cyrus gets a shout out here.
She does.
That's a good idea,
close
right?
Close off.
Because you know what? She's like married to or engaged to or something to Hemsworth. Liam Hemsworth lives at Phillip Island, which is only like 45 minutes an hour, maybe a little bit more. But like it's towards Hayfield.
Yes.
So it wouldn't be unreasonable that we could also get Miley Cyrus down for the Hayfield International Intergalactic Timber Festival, right?
Will Anderson presents.
Because speaking of a celebrity that like would probably just get behind some sort timber of cause festival. That she probably could get behind timber.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Miley?
Yeah.
I mean, her dad sang Achy Breaky Heart.
She's a massive fan of wood.
I reckon.
Totally.
Don't you think?
Yes.
And she'd like get it. She'd like... maybe she could, like, on her tour, like, it could all be made out of wood and have, like, big wooden vaginas and stuff. Like, a big Trojan vagina. Like, she comes out of a big Trojan, like...
perfect.
Like, yeah.
Put Miley Cyrus.
I mean, these are just all ideas,
add that
Miley,
to the list.
But... sorry.
You're allergic to Cyrus?
Yeah, I've got a Cyrus virus. So, I have them like Miley Cyrus, clothes off.
Yep.
Twerking in their bras and thongs.
Timber. Let's close back on.
Yeah. What are you doing, Pitbull? You've got this around the wrong way. This is what Pitbull's into. Pitbull starts with naked girls and he likes to dress them gradually. That's how he gets them hot. You're doing this the wrong way around, Pitbull.
You can leave straight away.
This is a bull pit.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I was so happy with that when I thought you said it. I was like, that's a classic, Lindsay. It's like, nice one, Lindsay. I was like, no, you said that. It was out of your mouth. That's how good he is. All right, here we go. Twerking in their bras and thongs, timber. Well, certainly you can't go out logging wearing a pair of thongs.
No, that is.
Occupational health and safety hazard.
Mm-hmm.
Face down, booty up.
Whoa.
Timber.
Whoa, it's a family event.
Yeah, Pitbull. You might need to just calm it down a little for just, the family. You know. Hey, Pitbull. Firstly.
Maybe just chop down and trim her up.
Hey, Pitbull. Yeah. Look, firstly.
Loving the start.
On behalf of Will Anderson, I would just like to say thank you very much for coming to do this event. We're really glad to have you involved. Yeah, we've always loved your support, Tim. But look, it's a family event, and some of your lyrics are a little racy. So if you could just maybe localize them a little. So I'll give you, Pitbull, the lyric that is troublesome, and maybe you can give us some ideas of how maybe you could just make it more about actual timber and a bit more family friendly.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So here's the line. So we have a bit of a problem with twerking in their bras and thongs, timber.
Oh.
Is there some way you could rework that just to, what about?
Work it in their high viz, long timber.
Good, that'll do. I like that you've come to the table, Pitbull. Pity. I mean, maybe you can do a second draft if you like, if you have time. But I feel like...
Timber.
I like the idea that he just says timber at the end of things. That's what we like about you, Pitbull. Always on brand. All right, next one. Face down, booty up, timber. That's a bit problematic for us as well. Face down, booty up, timber. Have you got...
Chop down and trim her up. Timber.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. You're getting the hang of this, Pitbull. I feel like you're warming up.
Timber.
Okay, this is all right. No, that's the way we like to what, Timber. I'm slicker than an oil spill. Say she won't, but I... Oh, okay. So...
Oh, problem. Timber.
It's people pretending to be a Native American.
I don't know what's happened to people.
What's happened to people? It's people had a stroke. It's like, anyway,
spit on the pine needles.
So, people. this lyric's a little troublesome for us, Mr. Bull. She says she won't, but I bet she will.
Tim, no, that's a good one.
Okay, all right. Well, we can't agree on everything. All right. Swing your partner round and round. End of the night, it's going down. One more shot, another round. End of the night, it's going down. Swing your partner round and round. End of the night, it's going down. One more shot, another round. End of the night, it's going down. Now,
Is that from our song?
Yeah.
Don't remember that.
Okay. All right, then. Well, Kesha's going to get back involved now, so it's okay. She's going to say, it's going down, I'm yelling timber, you better move, you better dance. Let's make a night you won't remember, I'll be the one you won't forget. Okay, all right, well, Kesha's not...
She's just reminding us.
Oh, and then the things with the woes and stuff as well. Let's not go back over all that, I don't think. I didn't realize this song was going to be quite as repetitive as it is.
It's busy too.
All right, now Pitbull's coming back.
Here
now.
He comes.
Look up in the sky, it's a bird... It's a plane.
Ooh.
Nah, it's just me. Ain't a damn thing changed.
Whilst Kesha was on, what do you think Pitbull might have been doing to come back with these lyrics?
I don't know. I feel like Pitbull's just freestyling now.
He's really just throwing the towel in there.
Live in hotels, swing on planes. Blessed to say, money ain't a thing. Oh, well, we appreciate that, Pitbull, donating your services here, because we know that you believe in the cause of money and a thing.
Perhaps in light of keeping the night sharp, but just the first two. Just the first two verses. Just cut this whole third verse.
You know what?
Out.
Yeah, that's a good point, Pitbull. Let's just get to... You know what? Do the first verse and then bring on the Hilltoppers.
Perfect. And then Miley Cyrus.
Oh, man.
It's shaping up to be a pretty good event.
Yeah, well, so far, so good. I mean, you know.
you know, with the change of date and the updated events, you'll need more things, though.
Well, I mean, can't,
like, that's just an opening concert.
Really. Well, I guess I'm hoping to get people. I mean, you know what we really need to showcase? Because, I mean, obviously we're taking a lighthearted approach to this, but I wanted to talk about it because I do think that it is a complicated issue, but I feel, I know these people and I know this community and they are good people.
Mm.
And, you know, it upsets me. And I know this story is being played out all over the world in different, I'm going to sneeze. I'm allergic to my own emotions.
But you know, I think it's fair enough. You do know the people and you know the area and you know what that town is and you know what it would
be. But there's a million different of those things happening all over the world as well.
Of course.
And
but you're not attached to a million of them.
No. But I think it's that thing of, like, particularly with wood, where we go, we use, like you said, we use it all the time.
Everyone.
But we just don't like, it's like a lot of people with meat. They don't want to know where it comes from.
Don't tell me that.
Right.
It's here, though, isn't it?
It's here, right? Yeah.
Oh, we're here. It's here. Great.
Great. But just, perfect. Let's not get involved in the...
Get a steak of wood and a steak of beef. Thanks.
Right. So I think you need to showcase, like, the miracle of, like, you know how the government are trying to do this coal campaign, you know, like, coal's good for humanity and, like, how good's coal and whatever. So you could do the same thing with wood, obviously, right? I mean, it's the same old industry, right? So you just have to showcase wood.
And there's watches made of wood, glasses made of wood.
Yeah, heaps of things are made of
furniture,
wood.
Furniture, plates, crockery, cutlery.
Pinocchio?
Absolutely.
Made of wood.
Yep. See? Heaps of things.
Yeah, heaps of things. I mean, I can't think of any more right now, but paper.
Ladder.
Paper's made of wood.
Yeah, doors.
Doors, yeah.
Boats.
Barns.
Tons of things.
Yeah, heaps of things are made of wood.
Seriously. You know, bow and arrow.
Both the bow and the arrow.
Yeah.
Well, most of the bow.
Dublé wood.
Yeah.
Heaps of stuff.
Heaps of wood.
Yeah. Chairs, tables.
Chairs cabinets, and tables.
Beds.
Cupboards.
Everything. Everything's wooden.
If you're Amish, everything. Everything.
Yep. Buttons. I mean,
no one's thought about the effect this will have on the buttons, Amish.
Shoes. Everything.
I mean, lots of things are made of wood.
Oh, tons.
Mate, it'd be easier to name things that aren't made of wood.
Well, there's the campaign. We could list off all the things that are made of wood, but it'd be easier to list off the things that aren't.
Wood. It's good. Wood is good. I mean, it's a simple campaign, but if Don can do it, it's iconic. Yeah. Just keep it simple.
Wood.
Maybe even wood. Good.
Good. Yes.
Right?
It's two words.
And you get celebrities to say just wood. Good.
Good.
Yeah.
Endorsed.
Right. Because you could get different personalities. Like, absolutely. You get Arnold Schwarzenegger or whatever. He's like, wood, good. Right?
Absolutely.
Suddenly you're interested.
Yeah. Just run those Shane ads Warne. All the time.
Shane Warne, you could get to do it.
Oh, yeah. Wood, good. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great idea. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you have the festival and you have all of this promotion, do you think the industry survives or it just celebrates the industry?
Well, I mean,
is it a memoir to the industry that used to be there?
On a serious note, I don't really know what I like. I hope that towns like that in that town are better thought about when we're planning for these things, because it's going to happen with the mining communities and all these sort of things.
You've seen that happen
when these industries. Yeah. Shut down, what we're not doing enough of is seeing that coming, because we can see it coming. Like, the problem Hayfield is suffering because someone 10 years ago didn't make the right plan, you know.
You could say the same thing about, you know, gold rush towns and and cities that were mail junctions or railway houses or, you know, work gangs, you know, all of those types of things.
Oh, I mean, you know, you only have to talk about the town that was nearest to us that was entirely consistent. The only industry there was Blockbuster video stores.
Oh, so, fucking hell.
Yeah. I mean, they were hit very hard by the whole...
Here in Queensland, cane farms, you know, and the industry around cane in a lot of places.
Yeah,
just,
yeah, absolutely. And and also that's progress and also, you know, industries come and go.
But it's,
well, I mean, as in, like, when I say progress, I mean... momentum. The nature of the world.
Yes, it is.
The world, it has happened time immemorial.
Oh, yeah.
Industries don't survive. You know, in different ways it's happening in things like journalism and, you know, newspaper journalism in particular. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you don't see it in the exact same way. But,
oh, no.
But we've got to kind of have a conversation, don't we, about what we expect of ourselves as human beings and what human beings deserve. Because we talk about these towns and these communities and these people as if they're numbers or statistics.
Often, yeah.
Until you're reminded, like, up close that these are, you know, because I can imagine somebody who lives in the city and doesn't have the emotional connection that I have to Hayfield going, well, I'm sorry, but the government shouldn't be spending $20 million or whatever they need to spend to save 250 jobs. Because if you heard that about another industry, right, you might go, well, that maybe that does seem like too much. But when you know those 250 people, you know the community of 1,000 people or whatever.
That's right.
And so, but I think in general, we don't do enough of that. Like, in general, we don't attach names. Like, when they talk about cutting the pension, they just, or welfare or whatever.
Absolutely.
They never talk about the people.
No, they
Or imagine that those people are actual people. They're just numbers.
They talk about the savings and the perceived benefit.
Right.
So positives. What do we expect
that humanity is meant to be about? Like, what do we think that people should get to have in their life, you know? Anyway, I sneezed and now I'm really... I feel like I'm really emotional.
You sound quite emotional.
I've got a bit stuffy I feel like I'm...
Well, look,
yeah.
Let's just hope the right decisions get made for the right people.
I hope so. Well, I just hope it works out.
Yeah,
for people, you know, so that people aren't hurt by it. That's really what I want.
I'm a big... Well, I'm also... Well, you're talking to a person...
Because I don't know if the answer is, like, you know, keeping the sawmill or selling the sawmill or putting in a completely different industry in that town where people could... All of those things or whatever.
Work.
But
all and any of those things can probably work. But I'm a fan of heritage. You know, I'd like to think that in some way, even if the sawmill stops being operated as a sawmill, that it would stay open as, you know, a museum or a tourist attraction or an event place or somewhere where, you know, you could go and kids could see it get turned on and not necessarily cut up timber or, you know what I mean? Like,
well, maybe when I buy the town, I can live there.
Absolutely.
But I will do like Willy Wonka style. So I'll turn the sawmill.
Will Anderson into a silly sawmill.
My final show. Will E. Wonka. And I will live in the timber mill. I'll be the old crazy guy.
This is great.
Yeah, because there'll be rumors around town. So flash forward. This is what we're doing.
Okay.
We're flashing forward to like 50 years from now.
Bought the town ages ago.
No, but that no one remembers. I kept it pretty quiet. I saved the town. But my only deal was...
You get to live there later.
I need to get live in the sawmill, right?
It's a great one. So it was preserved perfectly.
But then after that, through a series of unfortunate accidents, there's no one around who remembers. But now there's just a crazy old man who lives in the sawmill, starring me as the crazy old man. And and then rumors of like what I'm doing up in the sawmill.
Oh yeah, right.
Like, you know, they think I'm doing like human experiments or
rife.
Do you know what I mean like sex things or whatever?
Crazy stuff.
But really what I'm actually doing is trying to like Frankenstein style, trying to make a wood person come alive. Like I'm doing a series of experiments on people that I've carved out completely out of wood, and I'm using the sawmill equipment to make these people, these wooden people.
Style.
Yeah, exactly. Like when Geppetto meets Westworld. And like I'm trying to make this sentient, to teach people to love wood. You can actually love wood.
They just hug.
They're wooden sex robots.
Wooden sex robots.
At the moment, splinters is the main issue.
They're wildos.
Timber.
I'm going now. Yep. Oh, all right. That's great. Well, that's a good offshoot.
Yeah, it is.
It's a nice place.
Offshoot.
I look forward to it.
Yeah. All right. We should finish up because it's after midnight and you have to drive home.
I do.
But I appreciate that you came home.
Oh, it's been lots of fun.
Came over after your gig.
Thanks for having me.
And
it was much more fun than the gig, I'll be honest with you.
What can we tell people about? You have your own podcast.
I do.
You should tell people about that because people who enjoy you on this would probably enjoy listening to your podcast.
They quite possibly would. It's called What's Your Name, What Do You Do? You find it on iTunes. It's me talking to a variety of different people about what their name means and what they do. It's pretty self-explanatory. Cops. It's all right.
Hide everything. And by that, I mean the podcast equipment. And whatever the fuck that is you're drinking.
Okay. Yeah.
No one's going to believe that's a real drink.
It is.
It's pineapple and coconut.
It's yummy. So that's enough. You can check that out.
All right. Brilliant.
Thank you.
I'm on tour, as you know, if you listen to any of my podcasts. I am on tour. Critically Will is my show. I am very happy with it. Obviously, hopefully it will continue to keep getting better, but for where I am in the tour and how the show has come together with what I wanted to achieve with it, I think it's in a good place and only going to get better. So come out and see shows. I'm in Brisbane this weekend. You might not hear that. It might be done, I don't know, by the time this gets up.
Hope you enjoyed the show.
Yeah, but if it's not, then come. I mean, it's sold out Saturday, so really you'd have to go up tomorrow. Well, I might get up before Sunday. So if you're hearing this on Sunday,
there
are tickets available on Sunday. So there you go. I'll do that. I could have this meeting off here because I'm only having it with myself really now. But anyway, I'm going to put this up on Sunday.
There you go.
And so people might hear it on Sunday, so you can come out and see the show in Brisbane. It's in Hobart on Monday, but that's already sold out. Then I start on Wednesday at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and I'm doing that for the whole run of the festival, Wednesday through Sunday, including two big shows at the State Theatre the last two Saturday nights. We are doing a live TOEFOP during the Melbourne International Comedy Festival with special guests yet to be announced, but people that you might hear on this podcast every now and again. And that'll be unreal. And we're going to announce the tickets for that really, really soon. And then after that, I've got Sydney Opera House, April 8th, two shows at the Concert Hall. And then, Darwin, Perth, Wollongong. I've got some Newcastle dates to come. And we're going to add some more shows. I think there's going to be a Wagga Wagga show. I'm hoping that I might be able to do some North Queensland of some kind.
Exciting.
So trying to get to heaps of places. I have this show that I like doing, and I think it's going to also just be one of those things where it keeps growing and I'm enjoying it. So I'm just kind of adding dates.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like,
why not?
When you've got something you like doing, you're just like, oh, well, I can keep doing this for a while.
Absolutely. And I've enjoyed listening to you talk about the show and how much you've really enjoyed what it is.
Yeah, it's been a real journey. It's like, has been, it's been interesting. And I still don't think that is done. It still wouldn't surprise me if there's still like another kind of revelation or like twist or kind of beat to. I mean, well, Brisbane.
Keep doing them, you'll find out.
Well, Brisbane's the first show that I get to do officially over the 60 minutes. So when I was in Adelaide, because I was, the way festivals work, as you know, is like you have to turn around your show on the hour out of respect to the other acts. You could probably have a minute or two.
But I know what you mean.
But so my show, the first night I did 85 because I'm allowed to. There was no show after me on the first night. But then after that, it had to be 60. So then for the rest of the entire thing, I never did what I would consider to be the whole show.
Mm.
Because for the rest of my tour, I don't have to do... So the rest of my tour, I never have a show after me again.
That's the end of that.
Right? So I can do however long I want to do. So normally I'll do 65 or 70 minutes. That's kind of the amount I'll normally do.
Good length.
And I think that's probably what this show is, but I haven't had the opportunity to all try it all at once.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm actually very much looking forward to getting out there when I don't have to get off stage an hour. Assuming I don't have to. I haven't really checked.
Tomorrow. How'd it go? I did 85 minutes.
Yeah, I did, yeah. I'm still going. Hi, it's me. I'm on stage. I just broke your Guinness World Record.
Oh, no.
By accident.
Well done.
Sorry. Turns out this show is heaps longer than I thought it was.
I can't believe I was getting so much out in 50 minutes.
All right. Anyway, thank you. Thank you all for listening. Charlie and I are back with Two Guys, One Cup, our AFL podcast. So check that out as well. All right. See ya.